وانشر الدين جميلا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان, how are you doing this morning?
الحمد لله. How's everything, Maulana? In Pakistan, we're okay. A little warm. Matter of fact, very warm in Karachi. It's 40 again.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
We've got some serious business to deal with, so let's get dive straight into it, inshallah. So, Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, we'd like to address this particular topic. This is Sheikh Umar Suleiman, and you've told us and affirmed with us that there's no family relations here. Anyway, let's go into it. So what has happened is, just to fill you in, so-called Sheikh Umar Suleiman has given already two or three programs, one in Cape Town, one here in Johannesburg, in Sandton, in fact, and at the convention center. We'll give you more information on this as the time progresses. However, here is a question that many people, I'll read the message as I've received it yesterday, and the listener said, we sent out your podcast yesterday where we spoke on all of these issues as well. But Umar Suleiman publicly explained and apologized. So all these things that people are writing are wrong, and the people writing these articles are ignorant. So these are the words that have been sent out. Now, today our plan focus is to only produce the evidence. Let the evidence speak for itself. So we know about the interfaith movement within South Africa, and let's go back. President Barack Obama, who can forget? So, Mufti Saab, I don't think you were there that time. No, you were not. So, at that particular period, Sheikh Umar Suleiman went to pray, and this was the interfaith memorial service in the presence of many people there, and it was during the presidency of President Obama. Just listen to the words, how he consoles and sends out his consolation messages to the officers of America, and then we'll proceed further. Here is the clip.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon his prophets and messengers and all those that follow in their blessed path. Today, our city is heartbroken, our country is soul-searching, and we as individuals are forever in need of your guidance and protection. We ask you to look upon us today, to guide us to live our lives in ways that are most pleasing to you. We ask you to put peace in our hearts that we may spread it to all of those around us. We ask you to protect us from being people of injustice, that we may purify the world of it. And as we ask you, we recognize that it is up to us to say, you did not create us for bigotry or vengeance. You did not create us to dominate or oppress one another. You did not create us for war. We are not the ones to judge who should live and who should die. So today we stand before you in humility and in determination, ready to pursue the peace, justice, and equality that you demand of us. Ready to stand up against all of the evil that threatens to destroy the goodness in your creation. Ready to stand up against any oppression in any name, for any cause, from any position, and against any of your creation. We ask that your love would comfort those who mourn their loved ones today. That their memory would flood their families with joy. That the children of our fallen officers and all of those who have lost their lives to senseless violence are molded in the love that we express today, not in the hatred that claimed the lives of their fathers. We ask that the voices of racism and xenophobia that seek to divide us are drowned out by the chorus of voices that say.
And as this was a prayer from Sheikh Umar Suleiman about American fallen officers, and this was, you can find it, it's all over YouTube and the rest, President Obama's remark at an interfaith memorial service. So this was quite clear there. Mufti Saab, do you have anything to say with regards to this?
If you listen to the speech, it could have been made by anyone, Muslim, Jew, Christian, or anything, and that's basically the way the civil rights movement was working in America when I was there and when my parents were, growing up. You get all this interface, blacks, whites, Jews, and everybody together, okay? And the speeches that each one gives are pretty much interchangeable, all right? There are speech writers that they have, not necessarily that particular person, but the government. They have speech writers, and they'll give certain speeches to particular people. And if you listen to Omar Suleiman's speech, there's nothing about Islam in there.
Mm.
Okay, that speech could have been given by a Baptist minister.
Mm.
Okay, the exact same words would have been used. Okay, so he's just floating. This is true interfaith.
Mm.
Okay, where everybody says the same thing and doesn't want to hurt anybody else's feelings.
Next, together with this, and to show the Ummah how this interfaith is unrolling within our shores here in South Africa, you would recall that this same interfaith meeting prayer was also conducted between, and this is the Secretary General of JUSA, Maulvi Ibrahim Bam. And this was during a ceremony which, by the way, Omar Suleiman praised in his post. And he said that Maulana Ibrahim Bam is a great scholar. And reason for this was he offered his services and this interfaith prayer when Mandela died. When Mandela died, right? Mandela didn't die as a Muslim. That is 100%, and nobody can deny this fact. So he then expressed all these issues here. Let's hear it. And he prayed here with Warren Goldstein, who is at, as we speak now, last week, if you just rewind back last week, we also spoke a little bit about this. Warren Goldstein was in the rogue regime Israel, and he then came back along with other MPs, 9 to 12, sub 7, 15, South African MPs who are together in this GNU, you know, the government of convenience, where all these different parties are together. And he then came back and said there's no, what squatters and what are you speaking about violence in Israel? So someone put a nice, those blindfold, but the flag on that particular blindfolding was the rogue regime Israel, and it had that particular, because that's what they did. They took them to areas. See, what oppression are you speaking about here? So Warren Goldstein, heavily involved with the Zionists, praying for the IDF, as you'll hear in this particular video. And who goes and prays with him? It is none other than Maulvi Ibrahim Bam.
God of the spirits of all flesh, in whose hands are the souls of the living and the dead, receive, we beseech you.
The South African Muslim leader paid tribute to Mandela as an icon of freedom.
We extend our condolence to the Mandela family and to the nation during this time of sadness.
So what did Warren Goldstein say just shortly after the 7th of October? How is there any proof, evidence that we can say he did that he did praise the IDF and the rest? Let's carry on listening.
As examples of the awesome heroes of the Israeli Defense Forces of Tzahal, the awesome heroes of the people of Israel who've been subjected to a savagery and a barbarism that knows no limits. And I think one of the things that has brought us all here today is the sheer horror of looking at this evil and the human suffering that it is inflicting, and to see evil in the
clearly
face
there, and
the darkness of
speaking
it
in praises of the IDF. Whereas I find this, it's a total backstab upon the Muslimin, where you pray with him, right? And he is able to say these words at other times. That wasn't in the same meeting, but at other times. But the fact that you can come together with him, that tells us a lot about you. Nonetheless, going forward, he can praise the IDF. But we will see as well, like Omar Suleiman, like all these individuals, they cannot praise the Mujahideen for what they are doing. So isn't there an inconsistency in this whole thing? Next, I want to produce for you, and I mean the listeners here, is this year, what is the dark legacy? So before we go to the dark legacy, we need an introduction now. Let's put you into the whole thing here in South Africa. In South Africa, we know The Jamiatul Ulama, they've released books called the Tashil series. And these books, ideally, we probably even did it when we were younger, and it was fine. But now we see that this agenda has come in, and like the Jews, they have to come in, adulterate, change certain words, play on words, the rest to introduce new concepts like anti-Semitism and the rest. Well, Suratul Kafirun's interpretation was adulterated, and I have the proof in front of me. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laysa al-khabru kal-mu'ayana. There is no news like eyewitness news. So I've got the old Tashil series book, and it says here, under this lesson of Suratul Kafirun, lessons for children, one should not compromise one's principles by accepting false and batil values. This cannot be understood as intolerance, because tolerance does not mean to accept falsehood. Then we come to the new edition, released just in the recent years. This surah very beautifully explains that we could engage in interfaith relations in order to achieve harmony in a community or society. So this is the agenda, right? And it is exposed at children's levels, and growing up, these children are going to say, okay, but interfaith is fine, we can go. And we've seen on many occasions the schools, they have taken their students, girl, female students, to the church, and we've recorded, reported all of that there on other occasions, Muslim schools, right? And so this is part of this interfaith agenda. Nonetheless, let's go quickly as our time is running up here. Umar Suleiman, right? He's got this levels of fruitful coalition built. So there's 6 points. I don't have time to go into each one. But what I'm going to focus on here is level number 5 of this particular coalition and this coalition building. And what was the reason for importing this particular person to South Africa? How does it suit the American agenda? And if you're so vocal, how do you have all the freedom to travel freely and the rest? If you are so against the rogue regime, Israel, this is questions that we need to ask. But level 5, let's go back and focus. He said, coalitions with faith groups, right? That's level 5. Coalitions with faith groups that share concerns, commitments, or plights, Roman Catholic, Latinos, AME Church, Orthodox Jews, and the rest, right? Now let's hear what does Umar Suleiman have to say about this, so that nobody can say apology and the rest, because this is levels that he's focusing on and he's producing to the entire Ummah.
No intervention to society. What are our legitimate solutions to society's legitimate problems that often get hijacked by illegitimate agendas? How do we differentiate between well-meaning individuals and big agendas? When people come to the masjid to support you as allies from any community, don't assume that they're part of some grand agenda and scheme to ruin you. All right? Most people are just well-meaning individuals, right, that you can talk to and not cast an entire assumption of them being a part of these great agendas. Find balanced voices to work with on different sides of the spectrum. Voices like Rep. William Barber, who champions the Poor People's Campaign.
So William Barber, right? And there we have it. William Barber is whom we should find as balanced voices. So firstly, he said, let's reiterate and focus on what he said. He said that we mustn't assume that every person has a particular agenda. Most people are well-meaning individuals, right? And we must find well-balanced voices such as William Barber. So William Barber, if we see, and what is the preachings of William Barber? Who is he? Well-balanced voices according to Umar Suleiman. So let's hear what he has to say. Who is William Barber?
The law, that's why I stand against any form of codification of inequality, because I know what it can do. Okay, come on with it. So don't. And then I said, I can't do it because my denomination is affirming and bringing all people in. And when I was consecrated bishop, I didn't go to a straight person to be consecrated, because I started saying, that's a little paternalistic, that I always have to be the one that welcomes gay people, like they need my affirmation. So I flipped it over and I went to a same gender loving bishop who consecrated me to receive affirmation from a same gender loving, because I believe that there's no less Holy Ghost and Spirit and whatnot in her. And she actually is a same gender loving woman.
Balanced voice.
So you've heard that is part and parcel of the balanced voices. If we just carry on playing, we'll hear more about his particular agenda there. Statements directly here with me. What does he say? And this is what it is. Well-balanced voices. I will just manage it from here.
William Barber, when you attack the LGBT
LGBT community. That's a form of political violence in a society that guarantees equal protection under the law. When you seek to use religion to promote hate and harm, and when you misuse religion and you create a heresy out of the word evangelicalism.
Racist voices like Reverend William Barber.
When you promote all of this, yeah, this is political violence.
When you attack the LGBT community, that's a form of political violence in a society that guarantees equal protection under the law.
Then you want to tell us, you're going to come into our masjid and tell us how to conduct Islam. Do we need this? If you just see yesterday, and this is where our Mufti Sahib, you can just hear yesterday's talk. Umar Suleiman starts his talk off with this statement.
The first thing that I'll speak to is the disunity. Do you know how offensive it is to the people in Gaza when they see us fighting over petty issues and channeling our energy against each other instead of their oppressor?
So this is it. As Mufti Sahib, you told us previously that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah, in order to go forward, he first sorted out the Kufar Shia, because we have to sort out internal affairs. But when our internal affairs is stained with people like this, and he then, you know how it is, when import scholars come, then all the poison is plugged in their ears to say, hey, there's too much of disunity here, please address this topic. So we've heard many seniors also, such as Mulana Ibrahim Devla, Hafidhullah, and the rest, they've come. But they realize then this is a particular agenda. So he comes in and he says,
do you know how offensive it is to the people in Gaza when they see us fighting over petty issues and channeling our energy against each other instead of...
Can we ask you this question? Let's just hear a little bit more and then I'll ask the question.
Do you know how disrespectful it is to the plight and the burden that they are carrying on behalf of the Ummah as a whole? It is embarrassing that we still fight amongst each other in the most consequential times of our lives.
So we're fighting amongst each other. And he cries out to so many females, speaking openly with all females around, surrounded, everything. He's making this statement. So, Mufti Sahib, I respect you because you've come out from, you've been through a lot, you've seen a lot, you've come to Islam, you've accepted Islam. Can I say that what this man here is saying is true, is correct, we are causing disunity, or rather, who's causing the disunity? And one question I pose is, if you're saying unity, then why not address the Mujahideen who are fighting there, giving their lives over 560 days, yet still moving strong, no public holidays, no Easter holidays, no conferences, walking the talk. But here we have him who is saying that we must, but you can't speak in favor of these people of the Mujahideen. Isn't this a disservice? Mufti Sahib, we have just 2 or 3 minutes, and the idea was to present the evidences for the Ummah to understand and know well who we're dealing with.
Yeah, well, if you have to ask, if this argument's back and forth about whether this person is on the hook or not, then the chances are he's not on the hook. All right, no one ever had any confusion with Maulana Desai about what his opinion on anything is. He states it clearly. All right, and those people that we mentioned before, like Yasser Qadri and Imran Hussein and people like this, they're masters of doublespeak. And they'll say one thing in front of one audience and then another thing in front of another audience. And you never know where they're coming from. But, Umar Suleiman, he's an American Muslim, and so he has a problem, okay? He teaches where? In a Methodist university. Okay, Methodist is a part of the Protestant branch of Christianity, and he teaches in that school. Now, you heard, and we've all heard, about how just saying from the river to the sea, if you're a person on a visa in America, you'll get canceled and you'll get kicked back into your country. Okay, just saying that. Forget about supporting Mujahideen. So obviously, you know, he can't support the Mujahideen and stay in his cushy university job, okay? So he's got to, you know, he got to toe the line. So I listened to his his speech to the Congress. Every year, Congress, when they start the new Congress year, they bring someone in, most of the time it's a Christian preacher, to have a prayer. Okay, now, so he was invited one year, several years ago. He was invited, Omar Suleiman. And that prayer that he gave there was the same while he was wearing a suit and tie. Okay, a suit and tie. He did have a topi on, but a suit and tie. It sounded like the speech that he gave in front of Obama that you have played up earlier. A type of speech that emphasizes peace, no war, emphasizes love and not hatred. So again, if you didn't know who he was, okay, you could assume that he was a Christian preacher. All right? He has to have that type of form in order to be in front of America. Okay, and so he chooses to be like that, and he's following after his president. His president Obama was born to a Muslim father, whose grandfather was Muazzin. Okay, whose grandmother made Hajj during Obama's term, and she said she was at Arafat making dua for her grandson. But yet he claims that he was never Muslim, even though he was in madrasa in Indonesia, right? He gave up all of his Islam to pose as a Christian so he can become president, all right? So he sold his deen for that. And Omar Suleiman and all the other so-called leading imams and scholars in America are pretty much the same way, okay? They're doing it for the Benjamins. Okay, for the dollars. Yeah, it's all about, there's a song. It's all about the Benjamins, and that's exactly what it is.
Yes, and that is a exceptional point which you've mentioned, and we'll end off on this. So he's had already two programs, and just estimated figures have come out. Cape Town had 4,000 people, so each person pays 250 rand per person. That is 1 million rands. That is 1 million. I gave you the formula, 4,000 times 250. That's not big. That's not a big issue to work out. Yes, the figure is big for just a program. You can come to our masjid. Yeah, we've got many seniors willing to do it and tell you the sunnah straightforward, and that is for free. But nobody's willing. That's right. The difference. Which is free. But to yesterday's program, Senten Convention Center, 5,000 people, if you had times that by 250, that gave you 1,250,000. So in 2 days, imagine, quick bucks, quick money, bucks, we say so in South Africa.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, what a waste of money.
And there's still another gala dinner, and that's together with Naledi Pando, who's also who's vocally against the Mujahideen and totally criticizes their defense methods. So that is, you can see all birds of a feather, and you can just witness how they're flocking together. Mufti Saab, Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah Khairan, for giving us your insight all the time. I know previously you've given us more here. It was just producing the evidence of what we had discussed yesterday, because a lot of messages are going about, but he released a apology statement and the rest. But inshallah, tomorrow we can continue proceed with other issues, inshallah. Make dua for us, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
فلستم من أمتي.